Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So listen, I've been known to say amen here and there, right? If some of y'all know me. And if you feel encouraged to say amen, please do. Matter of fact, I encourage it, right? And and if you want to say amen when I'm preaching, that's cool too. So I got a few questions for you to start off. Who was the greatest Jedi? Come on. If y'all seen it, who was the greatest Jedi? Who? Yoda! All right, y'all ain't talking up, so I can't hear you. But, yo, you know what? I'm agree with somebody that said Yoda. That's that two-foot green dude, right, who was nice with the sword. He had mad powers with the Force, and he taught kind of unique. You know what I'm saying? So Yoda was my dude. And so if I had to ask you to explain what the Star Wars movies meant, what was the theme, what would you say? What's that? Oh, yes, yes. That's the way I'm thinking as well. It is a classic battle between good and evil, right? The forces of the light battling the forces of the dark side. And if y'all remember, when the Jedis were getting ready to leave or go on a mission, what would they say to each other? May the Force be with you. Yes. And these movies just weren't about the battles, the epic battles in space and the sword fighting. I think it was even deeper than that. It was about family. It was about struggle, hope, courage, and freedom. And I think we can identify with that because to a certain extent, that's what we go through in our lives, right? You know, we have the struggles in our family. We hear about things happening in the world, and then guess what? It happens in our family. But then we have the hope that God will see us through that time, right? And sometimes we got to be courageous. We have to make some tough decisions and some changes. And sometimes, you know, we don't like changes. But if we do that, we'll get a freedom to where we can experience new opportunities, right? And we can move forward in a positive way. I truly like, or love, I can say, the Star Wars movies because, you know what? Even though they had a lot of action in it, they had a great storyline, right? And it was family friendly. I love something that's family friendly. And so I spoke about the Force. So what is the Force? What is the Force? It is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds them. It penetrates them. It's where they pulled their power from, right? And the world, they say the world is bound together by the Force and the galaxy as well. So who is a candidate to becoming a Jedi? Who is a candidate? It's usually a child who displays signs of being in tune with the Force. They're teachable. They go on the years of training, right? And they serve and submit to the Jedi way of life, and they're willing to lay their lives down for the fight, the good fight. You know what? I see so many similarities in that. So many similarities between a Jedi and a disciple of Christ, a Christian, right? The only difference is that we rely on God and His word to guide us, but we need to go through the same sort of teaching and training, and that training is a lifetime of training, right? And we serve and submit to His way of life because we know that's a good for us. It's good for our families, right? And then, what is the last thing? We also have to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, whatever that looks like. I believe George Lucas, he must have been reading his Bible because, you know, he used a lot of pointers from God's word to make his movies. And the Jedis were trained. They were trained for battle. They went on the most difficult missions, right? And they fought evil and the evil powers of the dark side. You know what? That reminds me of a scripture in Ephesians. Ephesians 6:12. I'm reading out of the NLT version, right? Ephesians 6:12. We got that up? Amen. The AV team is on point. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly realms. And that's a deep scripture. Because you know what? That lets me know that we are in a battle today, my friends. We are in a battle today. And I want to tell you what type of battle we're in. And this is my first point. We are in a spiritual battle. You know, we have to arm ourselves with God's word. You ever see those special op dudes when they go out on a mission? Man, they have their assault rifles, their explosives, their knives, their night vision glasses, you know, protective gear, their GPS devices and boots and belts and so on. And we need to arm ourselves as well. In that same scripture, Ephesians 6, if you go down to verse 17, it says, "And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." God gives us the sword to fight with. That is his word. And we've got to stay in tune with his word. We got to meditate on it. And sometimes it's going to require us to put down our media devices, right? Because sometimes we're just glued to that. You know, our iPhones and our laptops, our TVs. You know, sometimes we binge watch stuff on Netflix for hours. You know, I'm guilty of that myself. You know, but we need to take some time and to look into God's word. And so that's what the Bible is. And I know you know that the Bible is the standard, right? It is useful for testing everything else that claims to be true. So if you know something that is true, test it against God's word to see if it is. You know why I say that? Because we have an enemy, the devil, that is trying to disguise what is right, true, and good. He will make something that's not right appear to be right. And we don't want to fall victim to that. And as disciples of Christ, we need to realize that we need to constantly be molded and corrected by God's word. Why? Because we are constantly changing, right? And we experience different seasons in life. We have difficult changes that go on, new decisions that we got to make. You know, we're still in this pandemic. And the pandemic has made a lot of us comfortable. At first, we were at home. We didn't go into work anymore, and the kids were home for school. Now, we've returned to work. The kids have returned to school, but not a lot of us have returned to the church, right? And there is no substitute, my friends, no substitute than having that one-on-one eye contact with somebody at church, that fellowship. We need that. That's why God created the church, so we can be present. We can be there. We can help others, right? And so Obi-Wan Kenobi went through that training that I spoke about, and he became a master Jedi. And when you become a master Jedi, you get the privilege to train a student. And in the movies, the students were called Padawans, younglings, or apprentice, right? And Obi-Wan got to train Anakin Skywalker, who was a gifted student. He was gifted in the ways of the Force. But as time went on, Anakin became selfish. He became easily angered and wanted more recognition for the things that he was doing. And that wasn't the traits of a Jedi, and neither is it the traits of a Christian, right? Finally, he was seduced by the dark side and forfeited his life as a Jedi and became Darth Vader, the evil villain, right? So let's fast forward now to the Obi-Wan series. The Jedis were fighting the evil forces for many years, and they were dealt devastating blows. They lost many battles, and so, you know what? They had to regroup. they had to go into hiding because they were being hunted down by the dark side. And Obi-Wan was sent to a planet called Tatooine, where he was to watch over Luke Skywalker to protect him because he was a little boy. But Vader, in the meantime, and his Inquisitors, who are bad guys, were aggressively hunting Obi-Wan because he made an impact. He made such an impact in fighting against the dark side that Vader knew that if he killed his old master, that would send a crippling blow to the Jedi, right? My second point is the battle of self. I'm going to start that off with a question. How can you make an impact for God, right? And I know that's a broad question. I'm going to narrow it down for us, but first, I want to just list a few things that might be an issue or a concern to some people. And this is the list. Hey, man, you know, I'm young. What can I do? Or the opposite to that, I'm old. I've already paid my dues. I've already made an impact. My finances ain't right. Just let me get that in order, and then we can talk. My schedule's full. I really don't have any time. And, you know, by the way, I'm exhausted when I get home. I'm stressed, brother. You know I'm going through some health issues. I need to get that rectified. Or, well, you know, I pay my contribution. I'm sure that can help where needed, right? And I don't mean to read this list to, you know, come down on anybody, because I realize that we're experiencing some real challenges, right? But I'm going to let God's word speak, right? So in Ephesians 6:2, and this is out of the Passion Version, it's Ephesians 6:20, and this is Paul speaking, right? Yes, pray that I may preach the wonderful news of God's kingdom with bold freedom at every opportunity, even though I'm in chains as a prisoner. I am God's ambassador. Paul was my hero in the Bible. You know, that dude didn't let anything get in his way. And if you get an opportunity to read about Paul's struggles, the troubles that he encountered in his walk with God, you will be amazed. And so, getting back to the question, how can we make an impact? We can be ambassadors for God. And what does that look like? An ambassador is God's special agent. That's a GSA, God's special agent. Called to proclaim God's word, to direct people to obedience, and to live lives that are full of testimonies of faith, and a commitment to God's word. I'd like to, yes, amen. Amen. She did it. So I want to share briefly about my life. You know, 15 years ago, I made the good confession that Jesus is Lord. I got baptized. And from that time on, God has been encouraging me. He pulled me out of the gutter. He said, come on, Paul. He pulled me out of that gutter, and he cleaned me up, right? Cleaned me up. And so everything I do now is because I'm grateful to God for what he has done for me. Can I get an amen on that? I believe that he gave me early retirement so that I can serve in this church. You know, I currently serve as an elder, as Keegan said earlier on, and I've served in different positions before, but now I served as an unpaid elder in the church, and I do it because I'm just so grateful, and it's an honor and a privilege for me, and I pray to God that I can do an amazing job, and I also ask that you pray for me. I also ask that you pray for the leadership of the church as well. I want to talk about what it means to be an ambassador in five different areas, right? At home, in our family, being an ambassador there. I'm going to tell you a fact that our enemy, the devil, he wants to destroy the family unit. Make no mistake, because if he does that, he can destroy communities and extend to the world. That's what he wants to do. So it's so important for us to allow our spouses and our kids to see us in God's word. They need to see us reading his scriptures. And we need to have those life talks with them so that when they're old, they won't depart from it, right? That's the scripture in Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way that they should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. The second one is being an ambassador at work. I know that many institutions, it's taboo to talk about, you know, religion at work, right? So you can't take your Bible in, put it on your desk, and say, you know what? At 12 today, lunchtime, we're having Bible talk in cubicle 6. You know what I'm saying? Our bosses probably won't go for that. But if we allow our character to shine, you know, sometimes it's not what we say, but what we don't say. You know, that coarse joking, you know, the profanity, you know, that they understand how you make decisions, that they're true, right, and good. And you know what? They'll come to you and talk to you, and you probably have an opportunity to share your heart, build a relationship with them, and share the gospel as well. Being an ambassador with our gifts and our talents. I want to talk about two men. I want to talk about Les Johnson, a brother who has passed on, but was a great inspiration. He helped start the GACC, which is now the PATH, right? But whenever I was in a conversation with him, he was such an encourager. That was his gift. He encouraged. You know, I left away from that conversation feeling good about myself. Because, hey, Paul, you're great, you know? And if he had something to say to me, he would say, maybe you might want to work on this. He just had a way with things. The next person was Jody, who was also passed on. That dude had an amazing voice. I remember when I first came in contact with the church, I was at a Sunday service sitting down. Jody started to sing, I started to cry. Because his voice and what he was saying, I knew I wasn't right with God. I can imagine when God was giving out, you know, the gift of singing. Jody must have went on that line a couple times because that dude was amazing. You know, being an ambassador, dreaming for God's kingdom, right? Dreaming for the church. You know, seeing things. Are you the person who's going to complain about it or try and figure out, you know, how can I help in this area? You know what I'm saying? I had a conversation with a young man the other day, and he said to me, you know what? I want to serve in construction in the church. I also want to serve in the music ministry. And that was so amazing that he was dreaming about how he can serve. I pray that we can do that as well, right? And the last one is meeting people where they are, the evangelistic side of it, right? I want to pinpoint one thing. It's listening to people. There is no way that we can help if we don't listen. I had a great conversation with a young man. And we just talked about life. He shared his family's life with me. He shared what went on in his family, that his brother passed, his father passed, and he had a heart operation. You know, but I'm praying that as time goes on, we can forge a great relationship. I don't know where it's going to go, but God knows. And so if we can just take the time out to listen, amazing things can happen. You know, being an ambassador, our work might not be realized in a day, a week, a month, or a year, but I guarantee the people that we minister to, they will remember, right? The deeds that you do in faith will not be forgotten. So let's get back to Obi-Wan. He was on this planet now for 10 years and another Jedi. So in that interaction, the young Jedi says to Obi-Wan, listen, you got to help me. They're hunting me down. He said, listen, I can't help you. Take your sword and go and bury it in the desert and go into hiding. You know, and at the end of that, the young Jedi said to him, you know, what has happened to you? You used to be a great Jedi. So he was surprised that he was, you know, telling him that. And Obi-Wan was probably a hero to him, right? But over the years, Obi-Wan, his fears, his failures, his guilt had broken him to the point where his warrior spirit was non-existent, right? And he wasn't willing to fight the good fight anymore. And he didn't use his time in seclusion to hone his skills, to meditate on the Force. He probably felt like, you know what? All that I have done in the past has been for vain. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt overwhelmed and not interested to move on anymore, to say, you know what? It's a wrap. I'm going to do something else, right? And God himself, he knows that there are situations like that. There's situations that might come up, right? And so let's look at John 16:33. And this is Jesus speaking, and I'm looking at the NLT version. John 16:33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. As disciples, God will never leave us or what? Forsake us. Amen. And he will be with us until the end. Obi-Wan gave that Jedi bad advice. He told him to bury his lightsaber, and that's a sword that could save a Jedi's life once he's in combat with the enemy, right? He advised him to do something that he had done. That's what Obi-Wan did. He buried his sword. And it's easy for us to give advice on something that we've done, right? But it's always best if we seek advice from people that we know and we trust. People who are versed in that particular area, who are going to be straightforward with us and unbiased, and will help us count the cost. And a lightsaber is a Jedi's weapon that can save him, as I spoke about. And for us, that is the Bible, right? That's what we rely on. Can you imagine burying your Bible? Can you imagine that? But the fact is that most Christians today don't read their word regularly, if at all. They only hear it when they go to church. And for the other 6 days, God's word is that. Matter of fact, for the other 6 days and 22 hours, because they probably only spend 2 hours at church, the word is absent. And I can probably tell you where those Bibles are. They're on the desk collecting dust. They might be in the bookshelf. They might be in the drawer. They might be in boxes in the attic or stored in your garage, right? If I can give you any advice, it will be to never pull back spiritually from God's word. Always take the opportunity to get fed spiritually. My last point is, good will prevail. Obi-Wan had to be begged to go on a mission to rescue Luke's sister, who was being kidnapped by the dark side. I believe that he was reluctant because he wasn't prepared to face adversity. And you know, when you're not prepared, you're scared, right? You can use that one right there. And he knew that the path of going on that mission would lead him to Vader. And that thought for him was overwhelming. He knew if he went on that mission, he probably wouldn't make it back. And that reminds me of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:38-39, in the NIV, Matthew 26:38-39. And he said to them, "My heart is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." You know, Jesus, he knew what was going to happen to him. So he had to agonize with it in his mind, and then go through it on the cross. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And it goes down into 42 and it says, he went away and prayed a second time and prayed, my father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. You see, Jesus knew that the battle at hand was going to be overwhelming, but he was willing. He prayed a third time and he was resolved. And he followed through with God's mission. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus went to the cross, he died, was buried, but it didn't end there. He was resurrected, and that is the victory, my friends. He was resurrected. He completed the mission, which gives us freedom and a pathway to heaven. And now we get to the final battle scene between Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Amen. Well, he goes on to win that battle. Amen. He did what he needed to do. And so when he was, what's interesting to me is that, as you can see, he was losing the battle. And Vader buried him under the rocks. And before he was able to uncover himself and get back into fight, he had to meditate under the force to regain the full measure of the power. Right? And sometimes it's when we are at our lowest point that we seek the help that we need, right? It's almost like Obi-Wan had to be reborn into his old self, and then he was able to defeat Vader. You know, good prevails over evil. And so the battle for us, we have to know that God is always going to prevail. Because you know what? He has already won. He is truly awesome and amazing. He has done miracles in the past, and he's doing miracles today. We are seated in a miracle right now. This church. Are you with me? Yes. And he will continue to do great things. But you know what, church? We're going to have to do our part as well. You know, we have to continue to be united, willing, and ready to do his will. You see this wristband I have on? I've had this wristband on for many, many years. I don't even really know how many years now. It's been such a long time. And on it, it says, the best is yet to come. Because I know God is going to continue to do amazing things. Amen? Amen? And that is what I wanted to share with you today. So let's go to God and pray for our communion. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for who you are. Knowing that, Father, we can always rely on you to see us through difficult times, the battles, Father God, in our lives. And we're grateful that your son went to the cross for us. His broken body, Father God, that represents the bread. The juice that represents the blood shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, Father God, I will never forget. I will always, Father God, be committed. And I know the church will be as well. So we pray to you today, Father God, just in thanks of what you've already done for us. We love you, and I say this prayer in your son's holy name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.